This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Kevin Cruz. Dr. Cruz is also known as Dr. Hustle. So I'm thrilled to get a chance to understand the story of Dr. Cruz, Dr. Hustle, and hear more about his priorities and what he's doing and more. Kevin, can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me on. Scott, I think you guys have an awesome website. I've been looking at it since I was a resident, really. And so I'm honored and flattered that you would have me on. So, so my name's Kevin Cruz, and I'm a private practice orthopedic surgeon specializing in shoulder and elbow in Dallas, Texas. And I'm glad to be on the show today.
So you've built a great practice. Tell us about your practice, and then tell us about the nickname or moniker Dr. Hustle.
Sure. So my practice is great, and I tell people, you know, I've been in practice for 6 years now, and I tell people I'm the luckiest sixth-year orthopedic surgeon in the entire world. And I honestly feel that way because I've just been so fortunate to have landed in the situation that I landed in. I do feel like I've made the most of it, but I was very, very fortunate to be where I'm at. So currently, you know, my practice is shoulder, elbow, and some hand. I actually did a shoulder, elbow / hand fellowship in Pittsburgh. It actually is split into both of those now. But when I was there, we just did everything from shoulder, elbow, hand. So we replanted fingers and we did tons of shoulder replacements and you name it, everything in between. And then after that, I went to France to spend, and I did a second fellowship with a surgeon named Gio Walsh, who in my opinion is one of the best shoulder surgeons in the whole world. He's also one of my favorite people in the whole world. And so that was an amazing experience. And so when I came out into practice, I really wanted to just be a pure upper extremity practice, really focusing on shoulder, elbow, but still being able to do anything in the hand and wrist. And then kind of slowly work my way up the arm. And I've been able to do that. I'm currently, my practice is probably about 80% shoulder, elbow, and another 20% hand. And it's every year, the hand part can kind of get smaller and smaller because that's, you know, you can only, you have to focus your energies, you know what I mean, on certain things. And so my focus has always really been on the shoulder. And then a little on the elbow stuff is not as common, but then the hand is slowly kind of weeding its way out of my practice.
Sure.
We're a private group.
But let me ask you a follow-up question. Are you in private practice in Dallas? Are you part of a health system? Are you part of a group? What does your practice makeup look like?
We are a pure private practice. We're Texas Orthopedic Associates. And now we actually are just now going live with a merger in the state of Texas. It's called OLS or Ortho Lone Star. And so what that is, it's essentially like a super group, right? So there's six other orthopedic groups across the state going from Tyler, another group in Dallas, the Carroll Clinic, and then there's a group in Austin and a couple groups down in Houston where we've all merged together where it's 160 surgeons coming together as a large conglomerate. Now, we're each going to still independently operate, and we're doing it for a couple of different reasons, but really it's kind of like six independent practices all kind of working under one big umbrella, but that actually just went live. So we're trying to keep private practice alive is the goal.
Certainly. And so there's other super groups like that in the country. There's originally North Carolina, in Illinois, you've got Illinois Bone and Joint and Ortho Indy. A lot of groups that are good examples of what you're doing and accomplishing. And congratulations, 106 orthopedic surgeons, physicians, a lot of physicians. And talk about, you've got this moniker, this recognition as Dr. Hustle. Where does that come from?
So I'll tell you where it comes from. So I wanted to write this book for a lot of different reasons. And the story is, I remember when I was I was a third year resident, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana originally. And I was going back to Indianapolis, and there was a guy there who actually had scoped one of my knees when I played football, and I was talking to him about coming back and working. And I said, you know, I really want to get a job in Indy. And I was like, man, there's just a lot of surgeons in town, you know? And I was like, it just seems so competitive. And I was like, how can anybody get a build a practice when there's so many surgeons everywhere? And he's like, listen, he's like, you can come here and you can do very, very well. You can make a lot of money and have a great practice. He's like, you just kept a hustle. And I was like, hustle? Like, you know, like, what do you, I never even like thought of that word with an orthopedic surgeon. He's like, you got to work, you got to hustle, you got to play the game, you got to market, build, grow, do all these things. And he's like, if you're willing to do that and do it for a couple of years, he's like, you'll be as busy as you want to be. You know, like the sky's the limit. He's like, you can go anywhere and in any city. And if you're willing to hustle, you can carve out a busy practice and you just have to be willing to put in the work. And so that kind of stuck with me really throughout my career. And so, you know, I don't walk around having people call me that, but, and obviously you got to have a little bit of a catchy name if you want to sell some books. If you put in like orthopedic practice management, and, you know,
exactly.
You're not gonna sell many books, something like Dr. Hustle.
What happens is, so Dr. Hustle is it's sort of a best-selling book, 9 core principles to help you build a thriving practice in today's competitive, constantly changing healthcare market. And you can find the book on Amazon, and it's got magnificent 5-star reviews. So just fantastic. And so I get it. So you don't call yourself Dr. Hustle, really. So I shouldn't be embarrassed for you. You're really, it's more the title of the book and sort of the moniker, the concept of I'm out, you know, this is how you build a great practice. And so very impressive.
Well, thank you very much.
Fantastic. And it says like college athlete, high performing surgeon, well done and inspiring, excellent and informative read. I mean, great, great reviews. And so what college sports did you play?
I played football in college. And I tell people, you know, I was a very mediocre college football player on a mediocre team. I was at Indiana University, which we actually had our best season we've had in 50 years. I wish we could have been that good when I played there, but we lost a lot of games, and I was a walk-on who also had a lot of injury problems and ended up having, I've had 6 surgeries due to like injuries from football on my shoulder, elbow, knees. And so, you know, you look at that and you're like, wow, I know you were a walk-on. I never got my scholarship. That was my goal. I didn't get the scholarship. We didn't win a lot of games, but And then it ended with me having a bunch of surgeries and having to not even play my senior year. But, you know, all those injuries, they shaped a lot of who I am about, you know, mental toughness and discipline and all those things. And obviously that was a huge part of leading me into orthopedics, which has been an amazing career. So I think sometimes when you're in the thick of things, you know, that are really quote unquote failures, and it's a little bit cliche, but you really do learn the most when you're going through those extremely tough times in your life. And when you have things that are failures, and I learned from that, you know, about work ethic, discipline. I looked about, you know, when you lay it on the line and you take a big risk, you know, for me, you know, being a walk-on is a risk, right? Because you're risking all that time and energy and you're not getting a scholarship, right? You're just doing it on your own. And you say, wow, you failed, but you don't fail, right? Like you learn that you take big risks. And even when you do fail, you learn a lot, right? And you can take all those lessons that you learned and propel you into success in other areas. And that shaped a ton of who I was, you know, like when I was a resident and medical student, all those things, working very, very hard. And yeah, so.
So magnificent. So, you know, with 6 different surgeries and injuries, do you ever think of yourself as a walking teachable moment?
A little bit. Yeah, I do.
Like
do.
A walking and textbook?
I do. I've had a lot of the surgeries that I do on my patients. I've had on my own shoulder and my own elbow. And maybe I shouldn't have played football. I don't know. I mean, maybe everybody's put together a little bit different, but it's also helps me with my patients, you know, because, you know, I've had a lot of the surgeries that I've had on my shoulder, a lot of my patients, I do that same surgery on. So I really do know what they're going through from the pain standpoint, from the recovery standpoint, from, you know, the thought process you're going to, like, should I have this done? Should I not? How do you decide whether or not it's worth having surgery? And so I think that when you've had several surgeries, and you can be a little bit more empathetic with your patients for sure.
Bobby Knight, great coach, insane or both?
You know, Bobby Knight was an amazing coach. There's no question he was an amazing coach. And so I grew up going to Bloomington all the time. My grandfather played football in Indiana and was a private practice family doctor in Bloomington for 60 years almost. He practiced to like his late 70s. So 50 years. But he was part of this IMENS association. So when I was growing up, I was going to IU football games and basketball games all the time. And this is like in the 80s, I remember, and when Bobby Knight was like a god. And it's just, it's kind of sad because, you know, what he's remembered for is all the blowups and all these things. And you just think to yourself, like, wow, you know, if he just could have gotten out of his own way, because I think that, you know, I think that Bobby Knight was amazing in spite of his shortcomings, not because of the way he treated people. Some people say, oh, he's hard on kids and, you know, all these blow-ups and all these things. And I think that was his downfall. If he just could have learned how to tone it down a little bit, he would have, you know, he would go down as the greatest coach who ever lived. But unfortunately, that's kind of his legacy are those things. And, you know, one of the guys that I went to medical school with actually played basketball at IU. He was there when Knight got fired. And what he told me was that, you know, Bobby Knight, And, you know, I listen, college coaches, it's rough behind closed doors. Like, trust me, it's not pretty the way that coaches act. And because these guys' jobs are on the line and there's a lot of money involved and it's they got to win. So, but the difference between Bobby Knight is he acted that way in public, right? Whereas, like, a lot of the coaches we have, that's what this guy said. His name was Kyle Hornsby. And he said, you know, a lot of the coaches we have, they act just like Knight does, but, you know, Knight does it in the press room where they know how to tone it down a little bit when out in public. So I think that was the difference between Bobby Knight. He didn't have a filter.
We had a fascinating Bobby Knight moment at one of our conferences a few years ago, and it really showed a different side of Bobby Knight, of Coach Knight. We had him and Mike Ditka on the panel, and Coach Ditka at this point had been, you know, he's been mentally diminished, had been, you know, either a mix of Alzheimer or onset dementia and so forth. And one of the first things I saw in Bobby Knight was, and I had not seen this 10 years ago when we had him, was he spent so much effort to make sure Coach Ditka felt good and was taken care of on the panel. And it was a compassion side of Bobby Knight that I had not seen earlier on in our interactions with Coach Knight. And it was really impressive to see. And I don't know if that's really just part of him or he'd grown a lot as a person, but it was fascinating to watch him, how kindly he handled and helped make Coach Ditka feel great at a time when Coach Ditka was just having a much harder time keeping track of what was going on. It was really a fascinating thing to watch Coach Knight.
Well, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think if, you know, growing up in Indiana, the people that I knew that knew him well, you know, different surgeons and coaches and people that I'd been around, you know, when you were in Bobby Knight's circle and you were part of his trust and he cared, like he would have fallen on a sword for anybody. And same goes for people that really loved him, the players that were through. I mean, they would have died for him, you know, like they adored him. It was just, you know, if you weren't on that side, it was pretty rough. And so, yeah, I mean, he's an amazing guy. He did amazing things. It's unfortunate that, I mean, when he got fired, it was a big deal. I remember I was a junior in high school and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I cannot believe they're actually this guy, Miles Brand, he actually pulled the trigger. He's going to fire Bobby Knight. Like, how can you fire Bobby Knight? Like, Bobby Knight he's Indiana. I mean, basketball in Indiana is a big deal. Like, every kid grows up, because before Bobby Knight, there was Branch McCracken, and my grandfather was really good friends with Branch McCracken, and he won two national championships. Well, it's 1950, so it's a long time ago, so everybody forgets, but, you know, the movie Hoosiers and Larry Bird and all these people that grow up playing basketball in Indiana, like basketball is part of the fabric of Indiana, just like football is part of the fabric of Texas. And you have this guy who is without question the greatest coach in the history of the state at the school. And you know, he's got the only undefeated team and he's winning. And it was wild, but you know, what can you say? I mean, some student said, "What's up, Knight?" And he grabs him by the shirt and tells him, you know, "You better effing call me, sir." And it's like, and that's how it ended. So it's kind of sad how it ended.
And the world changed over the last 30 to 40 years as well.
Yeah, you can't get away with the same stuff you used to.
It was always believed that Miles Brady hated Bobby Knight too. So there's a whole lot of history there as well. But the world also changed. The way of coaching, the way of being able to relate to players like that, the world changed around leaders like that. And just really did. It evolved in different ways. And it is what it is. It used to be that, you know, that kind of Bobby Knight tough love. And they say he did love his players, but he was tough on them. Was passable today. You just can't get away with that, even though some guys still might act that way behind closed doors. But what a fascinating thing. It's like, but you're right. I mean, the fabric of like Ohio, Texas, huge football states, Indiana, huge basketball state, which is a huge, it runs the fabric, runs through it. We're in Illinois where we just have political corruption. We cheer for that. But at least you guys have football and basketball and those sports. We just get political corruption.
You have one good football season. You got the Bulls. You can't complain about that. You got the Bulls, man.
No, we had a magnificent run with the Bulls. Right now, the Bulls are starting to move in the right direction. Nobody wants to hear my soliloquy on Chicago sports. The Bears are awful. The Bulls are moving in the right direction.
The Cubs finally won a World Series, right? So you got a World Series. The Bears won a Super Bowl in 86. I actually just watched a 30 for 30 on that. A redo.
Yeah.
It's really good. I would highly recommend it.
It's great stuff. And the White Sox are moving in the right direction. The Cubs are moving in the wrong direction. I mean, it is what it is. We don't expect much of Chicago sports fans, so it is what it is. Dr. Cruz, a pleasure visiting with you. Where can people find your book? And give us the exact title of the book again so people can hear it.
Yeah, so it's Dr. Hustle, like Dr. Hustle on Amazon, and we have a Kindle version paperback, and it's very inexpensive. I think it's maybe $15. So, you know, I did not write this book to try to make a penny. It's just, you know, when I got done, you know, kind of the reason why I wrote it was I got done with my fourth year, and I love looking at the books and looking at the numbers. And I've always thought of, you know, coming out of private practice, you're a doctor, but your business is running a private practice. You have to learn that business side. And I've had some amazing mentors. And looking at my practice, I thought, well, you know, at the end of the fourth year, I was the top collector, right? Out of there were 15 surgeons with us at that point, and only 4 years in, and I was only working 4 days a week, and I wasn't taking call, and really like my clinical, my surgery schedule combined was less than 40 hours a week, and I thought, you know, wow, I've really gotten this machine nice and tight, and I've had some amazing mentors that have helped me along the way, and I really want to share this with other people because I think that you know, I want to share how I did this because I think that it would be beneficial for young surgeons, particularly. You know, I think because you come out practice and your older partners all say the same thing. They say just treat people well and do good work and you'll just get busy. It'll just happen. And I think that that's true. But I also think that especially in 2021 with the way that, you know, social media and not just social media, but marketing and growing and websites and how the healthcare world is changing, there's a lot more that you need to know about how this game functions than just those things. And that's why I wrote the book, really for younger surgeons coming in, to hopefully give them a little bit of a 101 course on what private practice is like and how to be successful.
Well, Dr. Cruz, just a pleasure visiting you. Kevin Cruz, author of Dr. Hustle, about building a great practice. It really goes across specialties, not just orthopedics. Dr. Cruz, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to having you on again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.